You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Welcome on a Thursday, All Marine Radio broadcasting live from Quantico, Virginia. The crossroads of the Marine Corps, that's right. So, yeah. Welcome to that. I'll do post-traumatic winning today at 3 o'clock here. So, just got done actually, a little peek behind the curtain, but... Because I have to record Lynch and Kenny today, so got Jeff up early today, but he's no stranger to getting up, so really didn't get him up early, so anyway. So you'll hear that. We talk about the Baghdadi raid and get their thoughts on that, so I think you'll find that interesting. And then talk about something that Tim helped put together, that which is post-traumatic winning, working... on the weekends with, warrior events, they come together and go do stuff and, hopefully give them a tool that they could take home with them and use in the future to touch people's lives. And as everybody knows, it's in the touching of other people's lives that you change your own. So pretty cool stuff. So, Tim Lynch gets, full credit for seeing that opportunity and kind of wire touching between, the woman who runs the company and me. So, you'll hear about that. The other thing, so I left the meeting the other night with Nora, who's the woman that Tim put me in touch with. So she had made a comment about, it'd be so good. The younger you can get this into the hands of people, the better it would be. And so, and we were talking, and so then I left and I'm driving to Static's house, my F-18 buddy and, air officer in Iraq. So I'm driving to his house in Denver to have dinner and spend the night. And, he and his wife, Kelly, gracious host of mine. And so, so I'm thinking, and I think I teased this yesterday, talked a little bit about it, but writing a book for children, and with a very simple name like, I have the title in my head, Colleen Can't Forget. And it's a book about a little girl who sees, and again, you know, in my mind's eye, maybe she and her mom or dad drive by a car accident and she sees something, right? Not way it insulates her from it, but she sees something that she can't forget. And then what she does is she goes and she talks to her dad or her mom. I don't know who would be the appropriate initial contact, but right. If it's Colleen, it's me. And, you know, it's just in a casual conversation. How are you today, Colleen? Well, I'm kind of sad. Well, why are you kind of sad? Well, I can't get, do you remember when we drove by the car accident the other day? Yeah. I can't get that picture out of my head. And so then her father would say to her, hey, why don't you come sit over here by me and why don't you and I talk? Okay. And she sits down next to him and he says, there's things that I can't get out of my head. Right? And just so you know, Colleen, you're never going to get that out of your head. I'm not? No. Do you want to hear the things that I can't get out of my head? And then you gently explain, right, some of the things that you... Do you remember when I went to, you know, this? Yes. Well, let me tell you what happened there. And you kind of, first of all, what I think is so important relative to trauma is you tell the truth. Now you do it in a way, shape, and form that children, that would be tailored for a child. But what you really want her to know is that there's nothing wrong with her. And then you say that to her. So just so you know, there's nothing wrong with you. It's normal that those things stay in your head and it's normal to be sad. But can I tell you the thing that you have to promise me that you'll do? Yes. When you feel sad, come talk to me, okay? And it's okay to feel sad, and it's okay that those things bother you, and there's nothing wrong with that. Oh, I didn't know that, Daddy, right? Thank you. And then she would go have, and then he would encourage her, don't be afraid to talk about this with your mom, with your grandma and grandpa, and with your brothers and sisters, because guess what? What? They all have things that they can't forget either. They do. Yes, everybody does. I didn't know that. Well, now you do. And so Colleen would go on this journey where she would ask her grandpa or her grandmother, you know, Grandma, do you have things that you can't forget? Well, I do, Colleen. And then her grandma would teach her something about, you know, and really one of the things that I learned, Colleen, was, you know, that sometimes I wish I hadn't seen that and I feel like I'm damaged, you know, but that's okay. It's okay to feel like that, right? And then ultimately, Colleen, right, so she would learn about the three goals and the nine commandments, you know, in these conversations as she kind of moves through post-traumatic winning. And then, all right, hold on, we're not ready for that. And then something would happen in her life where she would meet a friend, right? And, or maybe before she meets, this happens, she has a conversation with, well, is there anything I can do to not feel sad? Because I don't like feeling sad. You know what, Colleen? There is something you can do. Well, what is that? Okay, you know all the things that you've learned from all the different people you've talked to? Yeah. When you meet somebody who's sad, like you were sad, you need to share that information with them. You need to tell them all that stuff. And let me tell you what's going to happen when you help them. You know, how happy do you think you'll be? And, you know, the response would be, I think I would be very happy. I think you'll be happy too, because whenever I do it, my heart gets happy. And you're going to meet a lot of people in your life that don't know what you know now. And every chance that you meet a person like that is a chance for you to change their life. And every time you change somebody's life, your heart will get happy and your heart will grow. And so you'll never forget that. But what I want you to do is I want you to create so many happy moments for your heart that your heart can easily bear that burden. Okay? Right. Okay, Daddy. And so, but I mean, for a parent facing, you know, I mean, imagine, you know, my family confronted with what it was confronted about, and you had to tell your kids, or your kids knew about it, maybe they saw it, but that you had to tell your kids the truth, like we had to tell John and Patrick when their cousins were murdered, because it was in the newspaper, it was on ESPN, for God's sake. And so now you've got to kind of steer your way through that. And how do you do it? Well, all of a sudden, you know, when they're exploring, you know, children, trauma, coping, you know, all of a sudden this book pops up, Colleen Can't Forget. And it's a book that you can sit down and read with your child, you know, who's young. And then, so I need to write a children's book. I love the idea too. And so I called Nora, who gave me the idea. I said, hey, we have to write a kid's book. You gave me the idea, so we have to do it together. And she was like, oh, my God. She said, that's an awesome idea. I said, no, it's what you said. How do you get this information in the hands of young people? How do you create a vehicle that will do that? And then I would say that you would write something for different age groups, so that might be appropriate for anybody below the age of 6. Right. And then you'd write something for kids 7 to 10. Right. Something a little bit, it might be a different kind of a story. And then something for teenagers. Right. So all, you know, different kind of literary vehicles that, that adopt different, right, cultural things and age related things to tell the same story about somebody, you know, a young boy or young girl who would be similar in age that encounters this issue in life. So, anyhow, that little click right there, that was the shithole weather update. Yeah. So that's in my head now. So pretty cool stuff. Pretty cool stuff. I got into Quantico yesterday and I had, you know, so I rented a car in Denver from Dollar. I get to Washington DC National Airport. And I go to rent a car from Dollar. Reservation, the whole nine yards. They swipe my credit card. Oh, we can't do this. Why not? I just turned in a car like 3 hours ago. Oh, well, when we swipe it, your company's business comes up in the card holder and not your name. I said, but look on the card. My name's on the card. Why don't you just either type it in there or override the field or get somebody to approve it? Well, let me go get my manager. And then then the manager comes out like, when we swipe it, I said, well, can I show you the receipt? I just rented from your company and turned the car in 4 hours ago in Denver. Yeah, I don't know about that. I just know I can't help you. And so I walked down to Alamo Car Rental and there's this guy named Jimmy. I'm like, Jimmy, I need your help. And he says, how can I help you? And I said, I don't have a reservation. I had one with Dollar. And even though I just turned in the car 4 hours ago using this credit card in Denver, they can't help me here. Can you help me? He said, well, let me see what I can do. So he swipes and he said, well, that is a problem. He said, but your name on the card, I think I should be able to solve that for you. I said, well, that's what I think. Somebody in a position, an adult, should be able to solve this. So he picks up the phone and he calls his boss. And I think her name's Nora. No, her name's not Nora. Her name's Kara. He calls Kara and they rent me a car. And I said, Jimmy, just so you know, you should be rewarded. And you should be promoted, right? So you need to get a raise, and I'm gonna write you an email. So after I get done with this, I gotta write an email to for Jimmy for helping me. But you know, I hate stupid stuff. I hate stupid stuff. And got down here to Quantico. I wanted to go up and watch Game 7 of the World Series with Patrick up in, he lives up in D.C. But the game, you know, East Coast sports watching sucks, right? The game starts at 8, got over after midnight, and I was already exhausted. And so I called him. I said, hey, man, I want to come up and watch a game, but I'm exhausted. And he said, yeah, I figured. And so anyway, watched the baseball game last night. Washington Nationals. How about this? The first World Series in recorded history where nobody wins a game in front of their home fans. So what do we call that now? The home field disadvantage. Washington wins all four games in Houston. Houston wins all three games in Washington. Houston ahead last night, and then their manager screwed it up. They had Zach Greinke pitching, and he's throwing like a one-hitter into the seventh inning. Gives up a home run and a single, and the manager takes him out. Now, they have the best pitcher in baseball that's been warming up. But he doesn't bring him in because of this, well, I don't want to bring him in the middle of an inning. So he doesn't bring him in. And the next guy up hits a home run. Now Houston's behind 3-2, and they would never recover the lead. And other pitchers got brought in. They ultimately go down 6-2, and the best pitcher in baseball sat in the bullpen and did not pitch. And so the manager of the Astros, yeah, I would not want to be him today. Because, and I'll tell you what, I think he's one of the best managers in baseball, but he made a mistake. There's no, you can defend, right? So let's say Cole comes in. He's a starting pitcher. He comes in the middle of the inning because that's the thing. I don't want to bring him in the middle of an inning because he's a starter. He just doesn't do that. So look, this is the seventh game of the World Series. Those rules go out the window. Okay. He's the best pitcher. If he tells you that he can go and you can lose with him because you can defend that. You bring in a guy who had given up a home run the night before. You bring him in, he loses the game for you with the best pitcher in baseball. You can't defend that. So, yeah, congratulations to the Washington Nationals. The World Series trophy comes to Washington for the first time since 1924. Amazing. And they, as they've done, I want to say they've been the best team in baseball since like the end of May. And in particular, late in games, these guys are like phenomenal. And they were last night. I was texting with Patrick and my nephew Joe, my nephew Jim, and we're watching the game. And Joe down in South Carolina, he's going to school playing baseball. Patrick in D.C., me in Quantico. Jim in Seattle or Portland, one of the two working. And so, you know, we're laughing and talking. And, but you know, it was what the Washington Nationals have done all season long. All season long. All right. This is, we'll get the program going here. This makes it official. United States Marine Corps Band. So on this Thursday, good morning to you from Quantico, Virginia. And this is dedicated to two people. This is dedicated to Jimmy at the Alamo car rental desk. And Washington National Airport. This is dedicated to him. Thank you very much for helping me. I will be a loyal customer for Alamo forever because of you and Kara. So thank you. And it's also dedicated to Tim Lynch. Tim Lynch is going to change a lot of lives by having his head in the game and connecting me with Nora. So nice going, Timmy. This is dedicated to you.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right. Check the weather right now. Cloudy and 68 here in Quantico. It's supposed to reach the 70s today here, and it's been kind of cool, so good for them. Right now it's partly cloudy and 78 at Camp Lejeune, Marine Corps Base 29 Palm. Sun's coming up, and it is 41 degrees. At Marine Corps Base Camp Pendleton, sun's coming up, and it's 50 degrees. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark cloudy and 70. Camp Butler, Camp Hansen, all of that. On Okinawa, dark cloudy and 72. In Ramadi, it is clear, dark and 74. In Lashkar Gah, in Afghanistan, it is clear, dark and 70. There you go. And those go from the east coast of the United States to the west coast of the United States, across the Pacific, and into Asia. And honestly, Lashkar Gah should be in front of Ramadi. So I'll have to change that. So I'll make a mental note. All right, don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.